WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. I'm calling from Christchurch, New Zealand. So I'm way in the South Pacific. And it gives one another perspective on the United States. And I'm going to talk today about the U.S. military, the importance of the military, and the policy of global encirclement of the United States by the communist enemy. So we'll get back to you straight after this message.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show. And I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within. This is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020. That's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brandon. Now, two of the biggest communist propaganda memes out there are to inspire fear at the U.S. military industrial complex and to denigrate NATO and other American military alliances. And I'll deal with them in sequence. Where does this hatred or this concern about the U.S. military-industrial complex come from? It comes from the communist movement. And we're continually fed fears that that JFK was out there exposing the military-industrial complex, and a certain speech he made is often quoted for that. He was talking about global communism. He was not talking about the military-industrial complex. I praise God every day. I thank God every day for the U.S. military-industrial complex, because if we didn't have it, we wouldn't have anything now. We would have been under communism 50 years ago. So, you know, the United States has built up a large military, and President Obama, well, Reagan built it up to probably its peak strength, you know, in terms of numbers, ship numbers, divisions of, you know, soldiers, etc. Now, you know, technology has improved over the years. You know, we have HIMARS weapon systems, etc. But personnel numbers have gone down. Ship numbers have gone down. America hasn't built a new nuclear weapon since 1992, whereas the Russians and the Chinese, well, the Russians are well ahead of us in nukes, both in their numbers and their modern, you know, their modern technology, and the Chinese are catching up fast. And we've got to get rid of the idea that we might get in a war with Russia or we might get in a war with China. It will be both, guaranteed, plus Iran, plus Cuba, plus Venezuela, plus Nicaragua, and maybe several other countries as well, including South Africa, for instance, which is completely under communist control these days. So the US military-industrial complex is the only thing that is keeping us free right now. And the problem is it's now run by generals like General Milley, who'd be better off being a sociology professor at Princeton or something, you know, left-wing General Milley. You know, Obama did the worst damage that Obama did to the United States was purging almost 200 patriotic admirals, admirals and generals from the U.S. military during his term of office, and replacing them with Princeton sociology graduates, woke generals, woke admirals who have zero idea of the real threats we're facing in the world. While Russia and China are getting ready for World War III, you know, our top brass is getting ready for global warming. They're all worried about global warming and equity and diversity and LGBTQ agendas, etc. All of it is just total Marxist subversion, and they are putting that ahead of American national security. You think about this, if you were Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, and your aim was to destroy the United States, and believe me, that is their aim. They've written about it and talked about it so many times, it's unbelievable that anyone would even question that. Their aim is to destroy the United States. When would you want to do it? Would you want to do it while we have basically a traitor in the White House, an agent of, you know, someone who's worked in Russia, China, and Iran's interests his entire career, when the US military has been gutted with COVID mandates, when tens of thousands of good officers have been purged from the military and, you know, pushed out through political correctness and all of these things? When would you want to go? Would you want to wait till a President Trump or a President DeSantis gets into power and starts rebuilding the U.S. military and getting things back on track and purging the political correctness? Or would you want to do it right now in the next year and a half before we have a chance to get a new president? What would you do if you were Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin? It's pretty darn obvious what they would do, and that's why they're trying to do it. And it's my contention, I've said this on the program many times, and I get a lot of pushback for it, that the only reason we're not already in World War III and that we're not already losing is the fact that the Ukrainian people have proven a heck of a lot tougher than Vladimir Putin bargained for. And so the only way we're going to avoid World War III is basically by defending Ukraine, giving Ukraine what it wants, what it needs to defeat the Russians and push the agenda back. And I say before, this is what was supposed to happen, in my opinion. Russia was supposed to attack Ukraine, take Ukraine in 3 to 7 days, establish power over Ukraine, conscript Ukrainians into the Russian army, be right on the border of Poland and Moldova, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, all these NATO countries, and then basically say, if you don't disband NATO, we are going to nuke several capitals in Europe. And I think NATO would have folded at that point because I don't think Joe Biden would have done much about it. And so that's, and at the same time, Xi would have attacked into the Pacific. And I don't believe he's going to attack Taiwan. I believe he's going to attack the west coast of the United States, Hawaii, etc. And at the same time, I think the Russian forces in the Far East, where Russia has some of its best military, they're not throwing their best into the Ukraine war. They're keeping them in reserve for attacking America across the Bering Strait, down into Alaska, down into through Canada, to attack the northern states of America, Idaho, Montana, Washington, etc. And Iran was, of course, getting ready to attack the Middle East, and North Korea is getting ready to attack the South Korea. And at the same time, we've seen videos recently of Chinese nationals, military age Chinese nationals, flooding the southern border. And people think, wow, maybe these are military people. Maybe they are here to set up a military, a Chinese military in the United States. I believe they've been doing this for 20 years, folks. I believe that Hamas and Hezbollah have been doing this for 20 years. I believe the Russians have been doing it for years as well. I wouldn't be surprised if there are hundreds of thousands of foreign military actors and saboteurs already in this country. They could have dirty bombs with them. They could have weaponized anthrax. They could have all sorts of things. I'm sure they have every reservoir in the country mapped out. They know the mayor of every city. They know the all the military bases, and they're getting ready to go. And the only thing that's stopping them now is the fact that the Ukrainians have stood up, and NATO, to its great credit, several members of NATO, the North American Treaty Organization, have also stood up. I'm saying Britain, I'm saying Poland, I'm saying the Baltic states. They have all strongly backed Ukraine. The laggards have been, of course, Germany, which is run by Olaf Scholz, who has a deep communist background, a pro-Soviet background, and is very reluctant to take on his masters in Russia, which is why he's been holding up giving German Leopard tanks to the Ukrainian fighters. So that's where we are. We're in World War III now. And the only thing stopping us being conquered is that we still have a strong military, not as strong as it should be, and we still have our NATO allies. But all of that is very, very fragile. You know, America's acknowledged that they would have trouble fighting a one-front war against China. What about against China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and Mexico and Nicaragua and Cuba and Venezuela and South Africa and Hamas and Hezbollah and all of the foreign invaders coming across the southern border every day? How would America cope? Well, America probably wouldn't cope. So this shows again how darn precarious our situation is and how absolutely vitally important defending Ukraine is. And this is an unpopular view amongst on the conservative movement in America. So many conservatives have been completely gulled by the Russian propaganda. Russia is a Christian country. Ukraine is corrupt. Ukraine are a bunch of Nazis. They have the bioweapons. They have sex trafficking. All of this is Russian propaganda. The whole lot. All of it is either wildly exaggerated or 100% false. Meanwhile, you know, Russia, which has a 6% attendance rate at church each week, has an abortion rate six times that of America. Can you believe that? Alcoholism through the roof, prostitution through the roof, AIDS through the roof, drug addiction through the roof. Russia's this wonderful Christian country that's going to save us from all these horrible things, right? Russia is allied to China. Russia is a neo-communist dictatorship. That is why the Russian tanks are flying hammer and sickle flags in Ukraine. That is why they're putting up statues to Lenin in the areas of Ukraine they've conquered. And that is why Luhansk and Donetsk are now officially people's republics with Soviet symbology on their flags. So there's been a massive campaign over 60 years now to denigrate the US military industrial complex. that it's wasteful, it's war, it's all about warmongering, it's all about just getting us into endless wars. And yes, there have been problems with wars that we're not allowed to win, but they haven't been the military-industrial complex. They have been the politicians who send troops into wars and then don't give them the tools to fight them effectively and win. We saw that in Afghanistan. We saw that in Iraq. We saw that in Vietnam. We saw that in Korea. Really, American troops have hardly been allowed to win a real war since World War II. And that was we were allowed to win then because the mighty Soviet Union, the bastion of communism, was being threatened. So it was all on to defeat the Nazis to basically save Soviet Russia. It wasn't about really ending Nazism. The communists were allies of the Nazis before World War II. It was about saving Soviet Russia. So American boys were thrown into the battle to do that. If Russia hadn't been involved, America probably would have sit out the war. If the Japanese hadn't attacked Pearl Harbor, America definitely would have sat out World War II if Russia had not been involved. They had to save, the communists in the Roosevelt administration had to save Mother Russia, had to. So the military-industrial complex has what keeps us safe. We have a great military-industrial complex. We have brilliant contractors who do great work and come up with great weapon systems. The problem is we have politicians who misuse that and send American troops into wars that they're not allowed to win and waste our treasure, waste our boys' lives, and give the whole military-industrial complex a bad name. They're not fighting it, people. It is the politicians who send them in, then don't allow them to win. That is the problem. Now, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, it's very fashionable in America today to dis NATO. You know, NATO, we shouldn't be involved in NATO. NATO's part of the EU. NATO's a globalist institution. Like, you even got the John Birch Society saying stuff like this, which shocks me because you know, the John Birch Society has always been so strong on anti-communism. But unfortunately, many of them have now swallowed the communist line on NATO. You know, NATO is the only thing that saved Europe. The Russians, we know from declassified sources, the Soviet Union almost attacked Europe in 1983. It was on the verge of an invasion of Europe. Now, you imagine the carnage that would have caused. Their plan was to nuke Germany and send Russian troops right through the fallout to take Belgium and Holland and France. This is how callous these people are. They were going to send their own troops through hot nuclear areas to take out Europe in a blitzkrieg attack. And NATO, being strong enough, saved the day. Right now, the whole world Russian campaign is about ending NATO, ending the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. If you look at the Communist Party USA website, they don't come out and say, we support Russia, though they do. They say it's all NATO's fault. It's all NATO's fault, this war in Ukraine. We've got to disband NATO. The same with the Communist Party of Britain. The same with the Communist Party of France. The whole message is disband NATO. And President Trump had a good argument when he said that, you know, NATO countries should pay more of their fair share. I don't disagree with that. NATO countries need to step up, and many of them have. The problem with NATO is not that it exists. The problem is they have some countries in it that shouldn't be there. And Germany should be there, but it's problematic because it basically is a communist chancellor right now. Romania is still run by the same communists who from way back. Same with Bulgaria. you know, Poland's fine. Ukraine's, you know, Ukraine should become part of NATO. Finland's good. Sweden's, that's socialist, but they understand the Russians. So NATO is in huge danger. If NATO collapses, Europe goes. Europe will be dominated by the Russians and the Germans. And that'll set off a chain reaction. We'll have World War III within the Middle East and then in the Far East. And then India will be thinking, well, what are we going to do? And they may well throw their weight behind the Russians and the Chinese because they can't trust America anymore. Japan may do the same. And we will be faced living in a world with no European allies, the whole of Latin America from Mexico to Argentina under communist control, with three or four countries, not, you know, in El Salvador and a couple of smaller countries, not yet fully communist. And, you know, South Korea, our South Korean allies gone, our Japanese friends gone, Australia and New Zealand completely neutralized. They both have pro-communist governments right now. South Africa under communist control, most of Africa under communist control, and a neutral, socialized Europe. How does America survive under those circumstances? You tell me how long America would last, no matter how many nukes you have, no matter how many military we have, when we are completely surrounded, where the Russians would control Canada, the Chinese control Latin America from Mexico down, the Chinese would have Hawaii, the Russians would control Europe, we'd have no allies, India would not be on our side, Japan would not be on our side. That is the plan. That is what the Russians and Chinese are angling for. And again, this is why all the anti-NATO propaganda, which is now being echoed by Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon, and, you know, obviously Alex Jones, he's been doing that for a long while, but also now even elements of the respectable right, who should know better. They're completely wallowing in and swallowing Russian propaganda. We need to understand the old Cold War never stopped. Russia and China have always been trying to destroy America. That is why America very wisely put bases overseas. That is why America was very tight with Israel, because Israel is a great listening post in the Middle East. That's why America set up NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to unite the countries of Europe against the Soviet Union. That is why America set up the CETO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, to unite the Southeast Asian countries against the encroachment of communism through Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. They stopped the communization of Indonesia and Singapore and Malaysia and even Papua New Guinea. And that is why we had an ANZUS military alliance as well, the Australian, New Zealand, United States military alliance, which has unfortunately, as I explained in my last show, was sabotaged by the Soviet Union back in the 80s and no longer exists. And it's also why we have the Five Eyes arrangement, Australia, Canada, United States, Britain, and Five Eyes, Australia, New Zealand, United States, Canada, and Britain, who would share intelligence to keep an eye on the Chinese and what the Russians are doing and what the Iranians are doing, etc. All very necessary stuff, all sensible precautions. But even now, that's a big problem because Canada has a socialist prime minister who's in bed with the Chinese. America has a communist president in Joe Biden. Australia has a pro-communist president now in Anthony Albanese. And New Zealand has a pro-communist prime Australia has a pro-communist prime minister in Anthony Albanese. And New Zealand has a pro-communist prime minister in Chris Hipkins. Thankfully, we got rid of Jacinda Ardern, but Chris Hipkins is just as bad, if not worse, actually. So the whole world is hanging in the balance. And this is my argument. If we can defeat Russia in Ukraine, that's going to cause a collapse of the Putin regime. A lot of Russian republics, a lot of the Russian fringe areas will break away from Mother Russia. At the same time, I believe that will spark new revolutions in Iran, which will hopefully overthrow the mullahs. That will spark revolutions in China against the CCP. We will end the Chinese Communist Party and maybe even end the communist regime in North Korea. So by defending Ukraine, not only do we make America safe or give America the best chance of being safe, there's a real chance we can turn the whole world balance of power, destroy the evil empire once and for all, and go on to a new era of peace and prosperity as God intended for this world. That is what we are supposed to be living in. So it's courage. It takes courage to defend Ukraine because there are risks, absolutely. But the risks of not defending Ukraine are far greater. I can't tell you there's no risks. There are. We've appeased the communists for 100 years now, and now we're coming up to the final battle, and there are risks in that. If we'd stopped the communists 40, 50 years ago when we could have, the risks would be nothing now. But we didn't do that. We left it. Now we have risks. But the risks of not opposing Russia and Ukraine, not defeating Russia and Ukraine, is basically a guaranteed World War III and American conquest, conquest of America, and the slaughter of everybody who lives here. Cheery, cheery message, is it not? But it's a truthful one. It's an accurate one. We're only going to get out of this with God's help. But to get God's help, we need to face reality. We need to be courageous and speak the truth. Because courage comes from faith. So courage is proof of faith. That's why God helped the American revolutionaries, because they had courage and they had faith. They believed in something bigger. If they were just ordinary revolutionaries who just wanted power for themselves, God wouldn't have had anything to do with it. But because they wanted to enshrine God, they wanted to say that light, that man's rights come from God, and had the courage and the faith to go to war with Britain to pull that off, I think God granted a lot of providence in the revolution. And that's what we need again today. And we aren't going to get it by cowering, being wimps, or pretending that Ukraine has nothing to do with us. So thanks very much for watching. Please go to my website, trevorlowden.com. There are books and DVDs there, Enemies Within the Church, Enemies Within, that will shock you, but are necessary shocks to wake more people up out of their stupor and get them active. And not just active, but active in the right direction. So thanks very much for watching. Thanks for Brandon for providing this channel. Thanks for supporting America. Thanks for standing up for what you believe in. God bless America. God bless New Zealand, where I am right now. Love this country. And God bless every single one of you. Thanks so much.